Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 56, Dave Berger Encourages Lifelong Learning. Here's a shout out to listeners in Utah, in particular, Salt Lake City, West Jordan, American Fork, and Hurryman. With that, let's get started. Freedom through prosperity. That is Dave's mantra. Who is Dave? He is an entrepreneur, a family man, a coach, a trainer, and a leadership professional. You might even say he really knows how to network. He is from Toronto, Canada, and he knows something about gluten-free recipes. To give you an idea about Dave's networking, I want to read to you what Laura Connor says about him. She writes, "He's an expert at creating valuable networking events and connecting business owners together. I've met dozens of like-minded business owners at his Bang networking events that I wouldn't have met otherwise. But what I love most about Dave is that he has a servant's heart. He really wants to see others succeed in their business ventures. He exemplifies leadership in every sense of the word and has a genuine heart of gold." Part 1, the PDCA formula. In the 9 practices of 21st century leadership, I identify 7 leadership principles. The number 7-1 is develop leadership practices continuously. It seems that there's a tight connection between leadership and learning, and even with lifelong learning. Without deliberate learning, your leadership is limited. In this story, Dave shares about an event that stirred his lifelong learning. Here's Dave.
A friend of mine had invited me to a personal development meeting years ago, and this is when I'm just getting in touch with personal development. I knew nothing in the corporate world about personal development, but one of the things was something he called a plan, do, check, and adjust. And it caught me because I thought, geez, I could gain experience quickly by just understanding this principle. And really all it is that you're doing something for a period of time. You go back and look and see exactly what you do and figure out what kind of adjustment you can make so that the process is better. And once it's better, if you do that over and over, by the end of the year, you'll find that your experience is equal to a person who is doing the same job for 10 years. That was impactful for me and an eye-opening event for me as well.
It's amazing how people, especially in leadership, they don't like getting feedback. The plan, do, check in, adjust is, sometimes threatening and or they don't think they need it.
Very true. Very true. A lot of people don't want to do as leaders too, because leaders tend to think they know what's necessary already. So for them, they're stuck in a situation where they're kind of tunnel vision. They're looking in one direction and they're not able to see anything else around them. And this is kind of sad because as leaders, we're helping people to move forward. So you really kind of need to open your mind so that you can actually help them to move forward.
Without feedback, you can't move forward. You definitely can't. And I think one of the underlying principles of leadership, of being effective at leadership, is continuous development. It seems that lifelong learning and leadership go hand in hand.
Absolutely. And this formula certainly plays right into continuous development, because it's not just one thing. You can do this with your family. You do it at your job. You can do this with any situation that's repetitive for you.
From the perspective of whatever role you're playing, whether it is a manager, a father, a mother, a brother, or if you're in the community as a volunteer, this principle is so invaluable to what it means to develop as a professional and as a human being.
Absolutely. It is a key principle and a key takeaway that really helped to propel my life forward. And that's a big thing to share with you here today.
I love a book called Influencer. I don't know if you're familiar with that, with Joseph Greene. And I don't know if he pronounces it that way. And I think there's like 4 or 5 authors. And he takes a look at how this concept of plan, do, check, and adjust compares when you're trying to learn something like tennis. Mm-hmm. If you take two identical people and at the same skill level and you have them play tennis all day against an opponent who's slightly better, the first one just does that. The second one has a coach that gives feedback and makes corrections, et cetera. You know who's going to be the better player by the end of the day. And it's a shame that people in corporations, they don't choose to have a coach. They try not to develop themselves. I just don't know why people don't do that.
And that's very sad indeed, because if you can't imagine with a coach, he's outside looking on you. You're inside, you're you. So you can see your flaws, but he can. And he's also a big encourager. So for those in the corporate world, I want to encourage you to look at getting a good coach, someone that will see you as a whole from a different perspective than you see yourself. And they can start making these adjustments with you.
It is definitely worth the investment. And I can say that because I have an executive coach myself.
Absolutely. You know exactly where we're going with this. You have traveled the path, obviously.
Part two, removing barriers. When I explain leadership, I do it in a particular way. I offer a definition, talk about the principles, then talk about the underlying beliefs of those principles. Then I describe the practices. But after that, I talk about the results from doing these practices, the immediate results, short-term, long-term, business results, and societal results. In the immediate results, one of the items that I describe is removed or reduced barriers. This can apply to individuals, or in the case of this story that Dave shares, it applies to a company. Here's Dave to share his story.
So what I want to say right now is an example of something that happened in my career while I was working in a corporate company. This really set a foundation for the way I deal with the rest of the customers that I had to deal with. I was a sales guy. They call account manager. Account manager goes out and visit different customers. One of the things that I notice is that when I go to the customer's facility, they're usually troubled by getting a whole bunch of small items. What I did was look at the overall picture and said, if I can take this problem away from this purchasing group, then it's quite possible that I will be able to do more business with that group. I look at what they were buying from different places, small items, hardware sometimes, and small semiconductor parts sometimes. So I went in, I get the full material of the purchase, the items they were purchasing, and I gave that to my purchasing department. My purchasing department ended up buying it for them. And as a result, they're freed up now. So their purchasing people can focus on the big ticket items and also help our people to design some of the products that we sell inside of that facility. And did that ever boost sales? Wow. Our sales went up tremendously as a result of just taking away the small things from this client so that they can focus on the things that matters the most to them.
You know you have a good business when you're able to outsource all the things that you don't specialize, that is not the core of what your organization is about. And when you do that, then you can focus on what you consider to be your core. So it sounds like what you're doing is you're enabling those companies to do just that. You take away the distractions and make them capable of just focusing on the big things.
Absolutely. The good thing about it was initially when I went in, I just wanted to have some kind of a relationship to be able to communicate with these people, because they're running around so much. It was hard for me to communicate with them. So I have to think, what can I do to be able to communicate so I can basically come in whenever I want and speak with these people, because so much of their burden is lifted? That's kind of what triggered this event in the first place.
That's what leadership is about. If it's someone on your team, it's removing barriers, removing things that are obstacles so that the other person could perform to their capability.
Absolutely, because they have their talents, they have their strengths, and once they're not clouded, wow, the sky is the limit.
Part 3, Active Listening. Dave shares some advice about active listening, but the conversation goes beyond that. He talks a lot about why listening is important, and that turns into a conversation that gives an example of how Dave continuously learns. Here's Dave to share his advice.
In terms of leadership advice, the very, very first thing that I would recommend is to listen. And when I say listen, I mean listen carefully to what the person's communicating. Because quite often what they say is not exactly what they're looking for. If you're able to listen and ask questions to verify what they're actually saying, you will get much further with the person. Not only that, that person is going to like you so much more because you actually take the time to listen and make notes. So I would call that active listening.
That is so crucial because if you think about it as an analogy with a medical doctor, someone comes in and they complain of various symptoms. The symptoms aren't the problem. There's something underneath it that is the real problem. It sounds like what you do by listening carefully to what the person is saying, asking some foundational questions to really get at what the core problem is a way of sincerely helping people and using active listening as you describe it.
Absolutely. Again, I want to reemphasize that listening actively means that you're understanding from a deeper place where the person is coming from. And for me, I'm the sort of person who is so random. So I actually have to make notes to stay focused on the notes I'm making while I'm talking to the person. And sometimes you might feel uncomfortable making notes, but listen, just tell the person that you just want to understand clearly what they're communicating to you. And that's why you're taking the time to make the notes.
When you seek to inquire versus thinking about what you're going to say in the conversation, it makes such a difference. Just reflecting back what they're saying, taking notes, making sure you understand could add a new level of clarity.
Absolutely. And that's the bottom line. We want to be absolutely clear what we're doing at all times, as much as possible. We can always make mistakes, but like in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, it will teach you that the more you do that's good for that person, it's building up a bank account with that person. So even when it's time to make a mistake or you accidentally make a mistake, whichever way that the mistake comes in play, you will find that that person is quick to forgive you because you've built up so much in that person's bank account. And so it is with business. So it is with family.
Yeah. And there's an appreciation for seeking clarity when even when you're wrong with what you perceive or what you think you hear, people have an appreciation for the fact that you're even trying to get that clarity.
And Gary, I can't tell you how many times I've been wrong because I've gone into a situation assuming that I knew the answer. And just when the customer started explaining and I started asking questions, I found out that I was way off. Obviously, I have to get back in line. And when you walk away from that, you said, wow, that was a great call. Why was it great? Because you understood so much and you were 180 degrees the other way. So now you're back in par with the customer. And this is such a good feeling for you and more so for the customer.
You mentioned, I believe, a book, The 7 Habits. This is the Franklin Covey.
You got him. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that book, funny enough, I went over that book in the corporate world and recently I'm going through that book again. So with a study group with leadership guys and about 2,000 of us going through that book again, because we frankly believe that the only competitive advantage we have is to outlearn our competitor. So we're going over this book and we're studying it as a group, because different people get different information from the book. This is actually great to go through this with a bunch of leaders because we're able to extract a lot of notes from the book and it has some really good stuff.
And this is coming from a networking guru who is a lifelong learner that is going back and continuing to educate, in your case, educate yourself and revisiting the 7 Habits and learning it from a different perspective.
Absolutely. The last time I read that book was probably 25 years ago. And then I'm reading it this year, and it's the same book. I see some highlights in the book, and I'm, oh, okay, so I did go through that. But one of the funny things about reading and understanding something, sometimes it drifts away from you. So you have to constantly go over information, not necessarily the same book, but leadership books, leadership podcasts, leadership information, so that you kind of stay in line, because this is sort of what I call associating. You're associating with good information, with great knowledge. And as a result, it kind of, it keeps you in line, because leadership really is driving your future as well as it drives your client's future.
It's almost like a moral compass to ensure that you're following your principles and the leadership principles to interact with other people effectively.
Absolutely. It's the only way that you can be current and effective.
My thanks to Dave Berger. If you'd like to learn more about Dave, go to the show notes. And if you have a comment or question, go to unlabeledleadership.com. Click the message icon, and you can leave a voicemail up to 1 minute. I'd like to thank those who contribute to the show. Your contributions help offset some of the production cost. But mostly, I'd like to thank listeners for doing what they do, and that is listen. Until next time, lead on!